You're listening to the Million Dollar Sellers Podcast with your host, Nick Chouquette. Today's show features another amazing entrepreneur who has found success online. Now, let's learn what it takes to be a million dollar seller.
All right. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Million Dollar Sellers Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Chouquette. Today, we have a longtime member, Reed, on the show today. Reed, I'm super excited to welcome you on the show and happy that you made some time for us, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome, actually. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm really honored to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Why don't you let the audience know where you're at, man?
Sure. Well, I in life, I'm out of Canada, Eastern Canada. And I live on a beautiful farm that I was able to purchase through my Amazon business. So,
nice.
You know, Amazon can, it does things for people and in a big way. And so that is something that, as far as I'm concerned, anyone can do it. But as always, they're stumbling blocks. So hopefully we can work through some of that as we're talking here and help people out.
Yeah, man, I really like what you mentioned about, you know, Amazon being able to put you in a position where you could buy something like that. I could definitely relate to that. Like, I really feel like success on Amazon kind of allowed me to really go after the things I'm passionate about in life, spend more time with my family and my wife. Is having a farm something you've kind of always wanted to do? Is that something you've been involved in for a while?
Yeah. So I guess if I go into a little bit of a backstory about myself, if I had to describe myself, I'd say that I'm a pretty serious nature lover. But by love of nature, it's really kind of unconventional. I actually went to school for environmental reclamation. And so reclamation is the process of cleaning up after land or water has been damaged in some way. And usually this had to do with any number of sort of oil field accidents. So I'd be required to go out and clean up an oil spill, or I need to test water to make sure that activity in the area, it didn't pollute the water body. And so while I was doing this schooling, I had an epiphany. While I was cleaning it, you know, I asked myself, why am I cleaning up issues like this? And why not just stop the issues before they ever happen? And it was really, for me, it was one of those light bulb moments that you see in cartoons. And so right then and there, I decided that stopping an issue before it ever happened trumped cleaning the damn issue up after it already had done the damage, right? So in order to accomplish this, I made a pretty serious career transition. And so my first business pursuit after school was as a quality management system specialist for some of the largest companies in the world. So for over 25 years, companies like ConocoPhillips and Husky Energy or Cenovus Energy, they'd hire me to both develop and enforce their operational business processes in regards to develop quality management system or QMS. And while, you know, creating processes sounds like a boring task, it was actually a pretty serious business. You know, I was tasked with some investigations, and these were of serious and deadly industry failures. And in the end, all of these catastrophes, they could be tracked to one thing. They all failed to follow standard operating procedures, or SOPs for short. You know, actually, that isn't completely true. Sometimes the procedures, they weren't developed correctly, and they lacked a checklist or something for some critical operation involved with the task. And so coming back to what you were saying, it's from this background that I was also tasked with auditing and enforcing compliance from the subcontractors involved in any of the hundreds of projects going on at any one time within these businesses. So basically, when you have that much going on, the rules have to be followed. And then the only way to be sure that happened was through extreme systemization. And using that systemization potentially stopped so many environmental disasters. I was able to stand up for the ecosystem right at the source. And for me personally, it was a real source of pride that no environmental issues came up during my 25-year tenure.
Wow.
And so I transitioned from that career in 2014 into our newest endeavor, mostly because of the oil fields sort of cratered. I was in Alberta. And so I went into a new endeavor, which is a systems framework for Amazon and e-commerce sellers. And I had lots of expertise in management systems, so I decided to apply it to e-commerce. And to do that, we spent over $100,000 building out this framework. And after countless refinements and stuff, our company came out the other side of that development tunnel with what I feel is a world-class systems framework. It meant developing along the way 17 software solutions while working with over 100 of the largest brands, brand management agencies, and brand aggregators in the industry. And this allowed us to build out a way to test and update SOPs as the app, the Amazon platform changed, because it changes all the time. And so if you have a system, you need to keep up with that. And so these procedures, they've allowed me to systemize our business, and really they're the foundation of our business operations. And we're now able to delegate all of the mundane and repetitive tasks to virtual talent. And we do that with a minimum expenditure of time and mistakes and ultimately money, right? Because when you're doing these systems, it's hard to judge your ROI on these. Unless you have some really solid KPIs going back to that extreme systemization. So, you know, if you can measure that, you'll find almost every single time that you're by not making mistakes, your virtual talent, your in-house staff, not making mistakes, you ultimately save money and make your business more profitable. And so, you know, we were talking about the farm. And we had gone through all this, and as a tribute to my environmental background, I decided to call the systems framework the e-commerce operating system, or the ecosystem for short.
Nice. That's very cool, man. That's quite a journey. I'm surprised you were doing that for 25 years. You must be doing something right on the farm, man. You look pretty young to me.
It was just my birthday. So I guess I'm 1 year older.
Okay. Well, yeah, man. How did you get into Amazon? I mean, what led you to pivot in a direction that Amazon was looking appealing to you?
I guess as a high-ranking oil field official, and with my job in particular, I was out in the field a lot of the times. And with the oil patch, you know, if you have a major project going on that you're in charge of, you don't get to leave. So I would spend sometimes up to like 3 months straight up in these oil field camps, trying to get these major projects finalized. And so, you know, that's a lot of time to spend in a camp, and you're thinking that's a lot of time away from your children too. I missed a lot of my daughter's formative years just by being away all the time, and it sucked. And so, you know, I came across Amazon in 2014, I think. And I just decided that at that point in time, I could see that the oil patch was sort of on the way out. I knew personally that I needed to get out of what was going on there. And honestly, after 25 years, it was probably time. So, you know, what better way to do it than to hit the next big thing? Because in 2014, I mean, my goodness, Amazon was red hot. It was you could do no wrong basically at that point in time. You know, you could fold paper airplanes and sell them on Amazon and still make a profit.
I feel like I got in at 2015, man. And like, sometimes I would make a mistake and it would like make me money. Like I would do the wrong thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was a great time. But that's changed now, of course. Right.
Yeah. It's definitely got a lot tougher, man. And I think that's really where what you bring to the table really adds a lot of value, because it allows you to be competitive and stay on that path without being in the weeds all the time. I certainly use a lot of processes in my business. I know I could use more, but I'm to the point now where like I still don't enjoy writing the processes, but I can push myself through it because I know how powerful they are, right? Like I kind of get excited in the middle of making one when I realize like, hey, I won't have to do this again for a long time. And this is going to serve me well until this process changes and needs to be updated. With that being said, why don't you tell the people a little bit about what an SOP system looks like in your opinion, as someone who has so much experience in this area?
Sure. Well, like I said before, standard operating procedures, or SOPs for short, are processes and practices that they're going to set your organization apart from your competitors, really. And you'll hear out there, so you're going to hear system out there. There's a lot of courses where they'll call themselves a system. And really, this simply isn't true. Unless there's documented steps that can be followed exactly multiple times, then it isn't actually a system. In its simplest form, a system consists of documentation from every part of your Amazon and e-commerce business. And this includes things like human resources, customer service, updating your product listings. There's keyword research. Let's see, communicating with Amazon, of course, managing inventory, competitor research. There's just so much. And Amazon selling, you know, it's a complicated affair. And I think that the listeners have to realize that there's large brands and management companies out there that already have this all set up. They've got it tested and they are dialed in, right? And a major issue that I find some sellers have is that with in-house developed management systems, the SOPs, they can be mismanaged pretty easily, right? Even something as simple as ensuring that your organization is using the same version of every document can prove challenging. Things change quickly on Amazon, and you have to stay on top of systems updates for sure. Now, the best automated SOP systems solve these issues by applying basically six fundamental industry standards. And the very best systems are constantly updating the SOPs in real time. So if we talk about those six fundamental systems framework industry standards, the first one is that you need to have defined systems onboarding process. So there's a bit of a misnomer between onboarding and orientating, right? So onboarding, it's ongoing. It's happening all the time. That onboarding can last throughout a staff member's lifetime with your company. Whereas orientation is that beginning, get them into the culture, make sure they have all the tools they need to begin the work that they do. Human resources really focus on that. But after that, you know, you have to make sure that your onboarding process is all set up so that when you hire people in, they can have as smooth an entry into it as possible. Because one of the biggest issues you and I both know is that you bring in especially virtual staff member, and it takes them, they may know the job that they have to do, but they don't know the system. They don't know how to integrate into it to get the best out of it. And so that's why we say the first fundamental is a defined systems onboarding process. So the second fundamental is a naming convention across all departments. And the reason for this is, and it really, it goes into the other fundamentals as well. It's really your baseline. And if you don't have a naming convention that can go across all of your business, from file names to image names to, things like that, then how can you expect your staff members to come in to know where to go, right? Because if you're using all different sorts of names for different things, and even let's say if you're in your images, you're using different naming conventions, it's hard. You get lost very easily. And if we're talking strictly about scaling as fast as you can, number two is just essential. It's completely essential. You have to have a naming convention. So the third fundamental is issue identification and documenting process. So you need corrective action, and you need change management. And in the oil field industry, we call these NCRs, or nonconformances. And so if you're looking at a system, you have to have a way that if someone screws up, there's an issue inside of your business, you need a mechanism inside of it to document it, put it down, and then at least so that people know about it. After that, you work on your corrective action, and your corrective action is fixing it in your business. And once you've tweaked that in, you've tested that in, and you've dialed that in, then you move into change management. And change management could mean any sorts of things, right? You know, like replacing staff members, get rid of the one that just can't seem to hold on to it. Or you change your SOPs, right? Change your processes. Make sure that everyone has access to those change processes. And so, you know, number three is pretty important for a continuously advancing system. Number four is statistical analysis and KPI tracking. We know why that's important. We want to know how much money we're making. We want to know what kind of progress we're making. And without those KPIs, it's difficult to do that. It's just, it's part of a system. It's ingrained into it. And it's a fundamental. Let's see. Number five would be an integrated project management tool or just a system in general for your project management. Now, there's lots out there. There's Asana, Trello, ClickUp. Now, there's an issue with those types of project management tools. And one of them is that they're not necessarily specific to e-commerce. And secondly, they don't have SOPs already in there, right? They don't have the way to necessarily in an easy way join your SOPs to the project management. We personally got around this by developing our own task management software, which we call the ecosystem. And by being able to marry the two pieces together, we've made a great way to quickly get jobs going. And so that would be your fifth fundamental. And lastly, your sixth fundamental is an EDM system, or your electronic document management system. And so if we look back at number two, fundamental naming convention, you have to have that naming convention before you can have your electronic document management system. And you need this way to sort of make sure that your documents, when they're updated, that everyone knows that it's updated, because there's nothing worse than fixing a problem, Nick, than you fix the problem, you update the process, and then the mistake happens again, and you find out that they use an old revision or something.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, like, it's like, oh man, we just went through all this and we still messed it up. And that, my friend, is why that is fundamental number six.
Man, as I listen to that story and I think about, you know, your passion, you love being on the farm, your previous experience and how you created this ecosystem and how you blended your personal life with your work life. And I just love that, man, because I know a lot of people talk about work-life balance. And I think that's important, especially, you know, I've got three kids, I've got a wife, like I definitely want to balance all that stuff. But I kind of get confused with that, because I feel like as an entrepreneur, my work is an expression of my personal beliefs and values. And I feel like you've also figured out a way to kind of blend those worlds together in such a way that is probably satisfying for yourself, but also providing so much value to other people. I've seen your SOPs. Like, I've been in there. Like, they are the real deal. And if you can outsource and that whole system to someone else, like, that is huge, because like you said, they have to be updated. Amazon's changing all the time, and sometimes in very significant ways overnight, that leads people to lose thousands of dollars in revenue in a few hours. And you know, it can take, it could, you know, like if I wanted to change a process on my own, man, like it could take anywhere from a day to a week for me to figure that out, all on my own. And, you know, that obviously depends on a lot of different variables, but if someone can just come to Reed and say, hey man, you know, I got this problem, you know, I'm sure you guys got a solution, and, you know, you'll probably already have an answer for them, or maybe you've already even updated the SOP already. And yeah, it's great that you've created that ecosystem where people can also manage the work being done, because that was a huge hurdle for me, where I learned about SOPs and I was like, wow, this is great. But an SOP doesn't necessarily get the work done on its own. And I had to identify what I came to call a workflow, right? How do I take this template, this process, and turn it into a workflow that can get the desired result that we're looking for from this process? And who's going to do that? And how do I get it on their radar? And how do I make sure that that constantly is happening? Because at the end of the day, like, I want to build my business as big as possible. That's how I think, that's how I like to operate, but I want to be involved as little as possible. And I've found that when I can accomplish that in the right way, my business does way better. You know, the more I can delegate and bring on the right people and have systems and processes and get out, and I get out of the way, it satisfies me personally, but it also is usually the better thing for the business. And I think that's really what, you know, that's the fun stuff of SOPs. That's what people should get excited about, because it might seem conflicting to want to grow your business. I mean, I guess it kind of is, to grow your business as big as possible and do as little as possible. It's probably a very foreign idea to a lot of people who are not entrepreneurs. And like, I know for me, man, like, you know, that was just like, before I learned about all this stuff, that was, I struggled with that. Like, you know, how do I accomplish this? How do I satisfy my big vision, my big goal? And just keep everything going the way that I want it to, and still be a dad and, you know, go have lunch with my kids during school, and, you know, take my wife out for date night when I want to, and have the business still running. Or, you know, hey, I got sick today and I can't come into work. You know, how am I going to handle this long laundry list of stuff that, you know, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm the only one that can do it. And I think that's the other great thing about SOPs, is it allows you to get out of that mindset of I'm the only one that can do this, because now I'm documenting what's going on up here and getting someone else into it. And that's the other thing that gets me really excited about the SOPs and having that project management system. That was a huge hurdle for me. I use ClickUp. How do I get my processes into ClickUp in a way that, you know, the work can actually get done? And that is an ongoing process for me. And I, you know, I've figured out some things, but I certainly have a long way to go. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what that looks like inside of your system, and who you really think your system is for?
Sure. So, you know, like I said, I called it the ecosystem, but really the key is the ECOS at the beginning. And ECOS, it stands for the e-commerce operating system. And so it's the shortened version of the term ecosystem. And it's a melding of really, it's over two decades of experience into a format that it's immediately actionable. It's easy to implement and it's e-commerce focused. And so you can look at the ecosystem in a very real sense by imagining, let's imagine an apple tree in the middle of a wide open field. So without care and essential inputs, the tree will simply wither and die, right? And the ultimate goal in this scenario is to grow the apple tree into a strong and healthy producer of succulent and really perfectly ripened fruit. And so if you look at your tree as being your business, it starts to become apparent what is most important to the long-term growth and viability inside of your ecosystem. And an apple tree that is well taken care of and fed correctly, it's going to consistently produce beautiful fruit for well over 50 years. And so, you know, really what we're trying to do inside of this system framework is give you the tools to plant, to grow, to prune, and to harvest your tree for years to come. And so, you know, if we ask who is a system for, the best way to answer this question is to ask yourself really what your ultimate goals are for your brands, right? If you're looking to grow to 7-8 figures and above, then you need to, at minimum, start documenting what you do on a day-to-day basis. You can never be too small to get a system up and running. So in essence, if you are an Amazon seller who wants to win and gain, you know, over your competition, then it's time to start now. It really is. Another large contingent of companies that use our particular system are brand management agencies and brand aggregators. And so under the ecosystem, we have over 20 of the largest and most influential brand management agencies in the industry working with our SOPs. And so that's something that's coming up, right? Is you have these brand aggregators or brand management agencies who they are the experts, or a lot of them say they are, but they have their way of doing things. But the advantage they have over your listeners who may be just a single brand owner is that they have multiple companies they can be looking at and trying to pull out these issues before they happen, right? And if you have an issue in one company that you're looking after or you aggregated, then you can move that across your entire brand base before it becomes an issue elsewhere. So once again, you're looking at basically the future of Amazon is that, honestly, if you haven't started systemizing yet, you need to go out there and do that. Start with the fundamentals. It's an easy win is getting a naming convention. I mean, that's such an easy thing to do, but it takes time. So yeah. You got to put a little bit of that time into it. Get started. Get that flow started. Because I'll tell you what, if you haven't hired any staff members yet, or you've only hired contractors every once in a while, when you hire that first full-time person, virtual or in-house, you will immediately know, like the second they walk in that door, that, man, I wish I had a system, because you'll be running around trying to get things together when you really didn't need to. In essence, all you had to do was click a button. And if you had a template for that entire sort of rollout of what they have to do, and you could just assign them the name, click the button, and all of a sudden they're ready to go. You've saved yourself a week, you know, 2 weeks worth of training work. You know, just sick them on that task template, and you're good to go.
Yeah, man, and I think, you know, one thing I look back on during my journey is I wish I would have started doing SOPs and documenting when I was like right off the gate, right from the beginning. Cause when you start to grow, you've got more operational stuff. You got more things you need to document. So now, you know, you're a year into a 7-figure business that exploded out of nowhere because of Amazon's Amazon. And now you're like, oh crap, I got to document this stuff. I need to template this and that's, you know, all this stuff. And well, you still got to keep the business going as well. So it can be kind of difficult to take that step back and say, you know what, for a week, I'm just going to do this SOP thing. And, you know, we're just going to let, you know, we might have to sacrifice some revenue for a week or some things might go wrong. And it's not a good position to be in, right? Where you have to have those conflicting priorities. So if you're listening to this and you're been on the fence about SOPs, like, you know, either talk to Reed about what they have to offer, but at the very least, like, start documenting, start writing stuff out. Reed gave a good tip about the naming convention. You know, at least you can start getting some organization going so that you just get the ball rolling on that process. Because I tell you what, as soon as you see what an SOP can do in your business, you're going to want more of it, right? You're going to get hooked on it, that delegation, that outsourcing. Like, it's just such a good feeling when it finally clicks. And it's funny saying that because I used to be one of those guys who thought that I had to do it all. Were you ever one of those guys, Reed? Like, did you ever feel that way in business?
Well, I was lucky enough I want to say yes, but in essence, you know, I, for over 20 years, I was in the weeds of it. So I understood what delegation meant. I understood the why it was important. So, I have to say ultimately, no, it was somewhat easy for me to delegate, but what finally enough is the SOPs themselves are something that I didn't want to delegate. So
okay.
When you get right to that system, you know, when that's what you do, that's the thing I didn't want to delegate, because how do you trust someone with the roots of your company? If you take a look at the ecosystem, right, the way we have it set up is that it's sort of, if you imagine it as the apple tree, you have the rainmaker, right? That rainmaker would be you as a founder, and that, what that rainmaker is doing is it's raining down what we call the MVP, and that MVP stands for your mission, your vision, and your passion. And nice. And you as a founder, you have to be the person that is raining that down on your company. And so if the rain, it sort of goes into the soil, but you have to work it into the soil, right? So that's where the caretaker comes in. You've got, let's say, your COO or your VP of operations. You have them in there. They're working your mission, your vision, your passion into that soil so that I can reach the roots. And the roots, if you take a look at this scenario, the roots are your system, your SOPs, the way you do business, documented down in a format that is revisable, modular, and able to be, you know, it can keep up with the times. And that root system, what you're pouring down into it as the rainmaker, it moves up through that root system into the trunk. And if you look at your trunk as let's say your staff, your virtual staff, then you can see how your systems move up through the tree into the trunk. And since you already have your MVP in the root system, it just naturally goes into the trunk and teaches your virtual staff their mission, the vision, and the passion, because they need to know that to be able to move forward. And now your staff, they're going to be doing the work, of course, and your caretaker will be taking care of them and trimming off the different things that they need to. But if you look at the branches as the issues in your business, right? Things that happen, things that come up, or maybe they're strong things. Maybe you have a line through what your staff is doing. They're building a strong branch that's going to hold your fruit, right? But you have to look at that and ultimately, your caretaker's goal is to trim out the bad branches, those issues that are going to either give you no fruit or they're going to give you rotten fruit, right? You want, as soon as you can trim those out of your tree branch system, the better, because you only want the strongest branches that are going to hold and produce the brightest fruit. And so the fruit in your business in the end is really, you get to say what your fruit is. So maybe it's being able to take 2 weeks of holiday in Puerto Vallarta every year, or maybe it's being able to buy a farm on the river so you can fish every day. But, you know, you have to make that decision as a rainmaker, what you want out of your business and what that fruit should be. And, you know, I can't really say it enough, right? Because quality management systems, they're really the only way to scale. I hinted before, there's large brands out there that already have this sort of system in place. And what this allows them to do is to jump further and further ahead of your brand, due to the fact that they can use their system as a force multiplier. And problems can manifest themselves in lots of ways. They can include things like the frustrated staff, or maybe you're missing deadlines, or you have non-compliance of regulations or terms of services. And everyone, I mean, if you're an Amazon seller, then you've run into that issue. You know, there's things like missed opportunities. All of this, it can lead to a slowdown in growth. And ultimately, the largest problem is an increased cost to the business. So, you know, you have to think of it as every day your competition is using a system in every day, right? Like they have that system already. And basically by having that system, they're growing their market share faster than you are.
Yeah, man, that's such a great way to explain it, that hopefully at least a majority of people can kind of understand that tree concept. Now, you know, I've spent some time working on a farm for a little bit, so I fully understand like the concept of, you know, pruning back the issues and allowing, you know, the healthy ones to grow and really producing that fruit that you want. And I think that's just such a great way to describe it. And it makes it it makes it more fun, right? Like a lot of people don't like to talk about SOPs and stuff. And if you think about it as this life-giving, providing thing that has all these different roles of people playing in the growth of this thing. And, you know, now we're growing this business and all these different people that are involved in it. It's just such a great thing. And I just love how you named it, man. You know, the ecosystem. I think it's spot on. And it's just so great. When you kind of take a step back and see that you've created this thing, this business that is operating on its own in some way now, and it seems like you've kind of figured out a way to package that and provide it to people. And I know you touched on this, like being the, you know, the future of selling on Amazon, and we see all these big businesses now jumping on the bandwagon. And I agree, man, like the game is changing. It's happening right now and it's happening very fast. And if you want to stay on it, like, you know, you're going to need some type of system, and some type is better than none, as long as it's not a bad one. But,
right. Yeah.
You know, having some type of system is a great way to get started. But you know, what do you say? And I am this guy, so this could kind of be the elevator pitch. Like, I know I shouldn't be doing a lot of things in my business, but I always have that urge to. I always have to fight against it. So, you know, what would you say to someone who was like, yeah, you know, Reed, I think what you're doing is great, but I'm going to create this system on my own. What would you say about that? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I guess, In essence, my opinion is the answer is no. We typically can push out a finalized SOP in about 6 to 7 hours, depending on the how detailed it is. But then comes after that the testing and the refinement side of things, and this makes a lot more effort. It takes longer to do, and it's really where the costs are involved in your system. So let's say that each one takes, we'll say, a day for an expert to develop an SOP. You have to ask yourself if you have the time and the expertise to accomplish the task. Also, you need to ask yourself if you have the scope to discern if the process you're developing is actually any good, right? in as I kind of describe an expert as someone who has access to multiple seller accounts or multiple categories. And so once again, we look at the brand management agencies and brand aggregators, they have that. They can look at different categories. They can see the issues coming out. And so what this is going to allow them to see is a broader picture of what success looks like. And so if you have that tunnel vision of success, and you're not putting your processes and your system into it, and you want to take the slow road, because I mean, like I said, we have timed out in our business, we time out how long it takes on average to do a process, and it takes 6 to 7 hours. And like I said, you know, unless you're testing it, the process could basically may as well just be on a piece of paper that you can burn, right? If you only have your own account as scope, then you're very limited to what you can successfully develop. On that same note, you can for sure develop your own SOPs. There is a benefit to doing it yourself, and it's that it costs you nothing but time, right? And if you decide to develop the system on your own, then there's two ways to distinguish how to proceed, right? If you've already developed most or some of your processes, then there's sort of a different approach than if you start right from the beginning, right? And that's why I was talking about the six fundamentals. Those can really apply to both. You can, as long as you're taking care of those things, you know, it's a list of six things, but it's a deep list once you start diving into it. But if you're working on it constantly, then you most certainly can develop your own system. But I will tell you, it is going to take a lot of time. It just is. And if you have that time, go right ahead. If you feel that your brand is something that needs specific things stated because you're in a specific category that needs specialized regulations and stuff like that, then maybe think about writing that process and then incorporating ready-made ones into your business, because ultimately the goal of a system is to take your hands off of the work and be able to scale. Because, you know, Nick, you and I, we're fairly successful sellers, and we surround ourselves with what I would like to say is the best and most accomplished Amazon sellers in the industry. And we both know they are constantly working on their processes. It is something that is a key part of their business. It is something they take time out of their day to do on a daily basis. And the delegation of those systems is it's time consuming. So you have to decide, do you value time or do you value the little bit of money that buying that system is going to cost you? So you have to weigh those two, I would say.
Yeah, man, I think what you guys have to offer is huge for the industry, especially with what's happening right now. And, you know, as you talk about this, I'm reminded of like an SOP to me, it reminds me of like that research paper in school that I never really wanted to do, but I had to do it to like get to the next level, right? Yep. And you put it off and you try to, like, I would cram it in the night before and I could usually skate by, but like, I don't want to do that in my business, right? Like, I want to be at the top, man. I want to be high level. I want to be competing with the biggest companies out there. I think that's a great thing that Amazon has to offer, is whether we realize it or not, we're leveraging their systems and processes in a huge way that allows, you know, someone like a fresh entrepreneur to really not realize how much goes into running a business. But when you get to a certain level, it starts to hit you and it can be pretty intimidating. And it can be a huge hurdle to overcome. If someone wanted to learn more about what, you know, what your systems have to offer, where would they go to find out more about that?
Well, they can go to ecomprocess.com for the systems. But I also want to say that I have a book called The Ecosystem. So I think Amazon and e-commerce sellers, they deserve a system that's custom fit for the specialized way that they do business, right? And at this time, there isn't a systems framework that really does that. We're forced to use hybrids of existing frameworks, and ultimately, it doesn't work as well as it should. So my book, The Ecosystem, I feel is going to change that. So in order to get you started immediately, I have an exclusive offer for those listening to us on this podcast. So if you want to head over to ecomprocess.com/MDS, so that's ecomprocess.com/MDS, and purchase my book, The Ecosystem, then I'm going to include a massive process package. This package is worth much more than the book. You know, like, you don't make money selling books. But I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to let you choose between a few different process packages. So, you know, you can make the choice which one's going to fit your business the best. And so once again, if you want to see what I'm up to, head over to ecomprocess.com/MDS and grab that special offer while it lasts.
Yeah. And if you're on the fence about this, like, I can vouch for Reed, like, he is the SOP guy. Like, he really knows his stuff. And I'm, you know, there's just such a huge trust factor, not just because you're in MDS as well, but just because I've seen what you have in there. And I know the type of person that you are, in the sense that, you know, you really enjoy doing that stuff and you take it seriously, and you're not gonna provide something that would not provide massive value. And the fact that you've created something unique for Amazon sellers is huge, because I don't know of anything like that on the market right now that's doing it at the level that you would be doing it. Like you mentioned, there's some other stuff out there, but it's not really that complete system. And the SOPs themselves aren't really going to take you probably to where a lot of us want to go. Like, you have to have that workflow system, that project management system that's going to incorporate all this. And, you know, I think it's probably what you identified as those six fundamentals, I believe you called it. And right, that's really what you're providing to people, is like a fully packaged solution that doesn't just provide these things, but helps you implement them. And it's going to keep it up to date and really just allow you to focus on growing your business and getting that fruit that you want, whether it's vacation, or for me, it's surf trips and time with my family. You know, like, that's what I want. That's what's important to me. And that's what something like this has to offer. So if you're listening to this and you're on the fence, I really hope you take Reed up on his offer. I'm pretty confident it would change your business in a huge way. So definitely check out his website. And Reed, thanks so much for coming on and sharing all this stuff. I think it's such an important part of business, and it's something that a lot of people need.
Thanks, Nick. Hang loose, brother.
Are you a million-dollar seller looking to network with like-minded entrepreneurs? Apply for membership now at milliondollarsellers.com. Leave us a review and subscribe now so you don't miss out on next week's episode.